Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello, welcome, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and join with me for this, our final video in our James Bible study series. And we're getting right down to the final meat of it. We're going to give it a crack. We're going to look at these last couple of verses in James chapter 5. And right now you're probably thinking, hang on, Paul, how can we get a whole video out of just two verses? Well, if you've been through some of the others, you'll understand. But I am going to spend a little bit of time today. I'm going to go through some very, very, very important things, remembering the instruction given throughout this video series on how to study the Bible. Couple of points. Number one, when we have a belief, when we have an understanding of Scripture, do we see that mirrored in other Scriptures? More so for these beliefs, do we see it reflected also in Old Testament? Do we see it reflected, our belief, our understanding of Scripture through the Gospels? Do we see it in example through the book of Acts? Do we see it reflected again through the epistles and the letters? And if the answer is yes, 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 and yes, then fantastic, we're on the right track. But if we don't see these things, understanding that all Scripture is inspired by the Holy Ghost, written by the hands of men, but not a single word has gone in there without the guidance and approval and the stamp of God. And I have something else that I will often use when I'm talking to people about plucking Scriptures out of context, which is what we're going to talk about today. And I'll show them some puzzle pieces. And they'll say, oh, this is what I think this Scripture means. And I'll go, yes, well, here you go. Here, have this. Here's a nice puzzle piece for you. And well, they'll explain it. Here's another puzzle piece. And well, there's another piece of that puzzle. And yet again, here's another piece of that puzzle. And I'm trying to illustrate in that example of saying we need to be able to see the whole picture. The Old, the Gospels, the Acts, and the Epistles. We need to see and understand the whole picture, especially when we're dealing with, as we will today, such important, important things. We need to understand them, not just in the context of what they were written, but in the context of history, in the context of the nature of God, how we view Him and how He views us, of course, now in Christ. So let me just read these verses, then we'll dig in and we'll explain a little bit further. Turn to James chapter 5 for me, verses 19 and 20. James writes, "Brethren, if any of among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." Oh boy, I love that. I love this because this gives me hope for some who I know in my life now who have wandered from the truth. This gives me hope to continue loving them and refining and showing Jesus to them and putting away my flesh of wanting to just raise my fist and my hand and go, come on, you knew this, get it together. No, this gives me hope. Because I want to ask and answer two questions today. Number one, can a believer, an absolute, genuine, spirit-filled, born-again Christian, a follower of Christ, a disciple, can a believer fall away from their faith? I think we've all seen it. But then there's another question that also needs answering. Can they be restored to the truth, to their faith? Can they? Well, these two verses most certainly suggest that they can fall and they can be restored. Yes, of course. There we go. We're done. Turn off the video. No. No, absolutely not. If I am to adhere to my own principles and my own beliefs about how to study the Bible, that it is contextually all one, then we need to look a little bit deeper. So grab your pen, grab your paper for me. Let's do exactly that. We've got a lot of Scripture to go through. I'll try and go through it slowly, but keep this short if possible. If possible, you may want to just jot some notes in the column of your Bible, underline a few things I'll be asking you, or in a notepad, and then come back and prayerfully read it through them afterwards. There is more here than what I can go through. This should be a morning seminar. This should be the kind of thing where we get the people of the church together and not, you know, teach them things of the world, but teach them things of the Word. This is important stuff. So let's dig in. There are three key phrases, key words here that we have. I'd like you to just look at, perhaps underline. The first is brethren in these two verses. The second is wanders from the truth. And the third is save a soul from death. And we kick off, of course, brethren. Well, yes, James, we know, was writing to Hebrews, Jewish believers, followers, Christians. And he's writing to them. So, yes, Jewish believers, but without doubt, this could certainly be us in our modern context also. And I think, looking at my notes here, before I go further, I do want to just read a couple of other scriptures which speak into this. And we'll look at them and we'll explain them as we're going. Follow along or write these down, jot the reference and come back to them later. First one, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, verse 4, from verse 4, 5 and 6. Speaking into this, to answer the question, is it possible, for example, for someone to come back to their faith? Well, read this. For it is impossible, the author of Hebrews says, for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift. Underline there, impossible. For it is impossible for these people that they have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God. And this is Rhema. Rhema for the word, the spoken word. They've been preached to, they've received the gospel faithfully. That they have, and the powers of the age to come, underline, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. Let me summarize that, because it's a mouthful. For it is impossible for someone who has partaken of this heavenly gift and the Holy Spirit, if they fall away. That's the key phrase. If they fall, saying, can they? Absolutely. To renew them again to repentance. Impossible. Let me add more to this before we discuss. Hebrews 10, a couple of pages over. From verse 26 in Hebrews 10 through to 31. If we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. And it finishes in verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, this being written, of course, Hebrews, to the Hebrews, understanding in their time, in their culture, annual sacrifice for sin, many others also. But now, as believers, as followers of Christ, saying, if we sin, underline willfully, after we have received, also underline, the knowledge of the truth, we've received this knowledge. And I think of Acts chapter 10, I think it's verse 44, where Peter was speaking the word, meaning Rhema, that spoken word. And then it goes on to say that those who received the word, Logos, the truth, the living word of Christ, the Holy Spirit came upon them. This is what we're talking about here. They've heard the word. They've received the truth. It says there is no longer remaining a sacrifice for sin. It's not like the annual sacrifices. Jesus Christ, once and for all. And I think here of a phrase, we might sing it, under the blood, that sacrifice, that time, once and for all. Willfully persistent sin after knowing the truth. Is it possible? Is this what it's saying, that it removes the covering of Christ's sacrifice, leaving only judgment? That's a hard thing, and that's going to go against a lot of what people will say. They don't preach this in the modern church. We're going to come back to that in a moment. Let me explain. But go to 2 Peter for me. Couple more. 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22. For if, after they, meaning someone who has obviously come to Christ, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge, there it is again, the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. But it has happened, as according to the Proverbs, the dog returns to his vomit, a sow washed, wallowing in the mire. If someone has received this knowledge of the truth by hearing a faithful gospel preached to them, received, born again of the Holy Spirit, freed from the cares and things of the world, the entrapments and then later again go back and become entangled in them. The latter end is far worse for them than the beginning. This illustrates, I think, clearly the gravity of falling away from your faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. This is why I said you want to jot these down. We've got a lot to go through, folks, in this discussion. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And here we see it again. Some will depart from their faith. First question, is it possible for someone who is a believer, who is saved, let me say that, is it possible for them to fall away from their faith? Yes. We see warning again and again, time and time again in Scripture. A couple more. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. This is a warning, folks. And I've met people this and I've seen it online. People who just go, yes, I'm saved. I cannot fall away. There is no possible way it's going to happen. Oh, yeah. Nah. Don't be so sure about that. Take heed lest you fall. Let not your pride put you in a position where you won't even see the entrapments or the snares as they come towards you. Colossians 1, 21 through 23 says, and you, once you were alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he, Jesus, has reconciled you. Listen carefully. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and again, listen carefully, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Is it possible for someone to fall from the truth, the hope of the gospel? Yes, if you're not moved away, it says it again and again and again. Salvation, it would seem, it's not certainly not a one-time thing. It's not going to the front in the altar call and giving your heart to Jesus. That's not salvation. Salvation is continuing in the faith. We see this time and time and time again. Jesus himself spoke in John 15 from verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing, he said. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather and they throw them into the fire and then they burn them. And this, yes, is speaking to the Hebrews, the Israelites, the children of Israel. This is what he is speaking to here in this. Yet we also know from later scripture that it is also now speaking to us as we are grafted into Israel. And we must abide, we must remain in him, some scriptures say. If not, we can be cut off and destroyed. Matthew gives the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, awaiting their master's return. 5 are faithful and keep the oil burning, the oil often in Scripture being used as example of the Holy Spirit. And 5 are foolish, unfaithful, and they let their lamps go out. And when the master closes their door, they're banging on that door. Let us in, let us in. Now, they were of the household first, and now they're not. In fact, in Romans chapter 11, you'll see Paul also address this point about us Gentiles being grafted in and speaking of that. Because of their unbelief, he writes in Romans 11:20, their unbelief, they were broken off, meaning of the Israelites. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, he says. This is now to us. For if God did not spare the natural branches, referring to the nation of Israel, he may not spare you either. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. This is for us. Just as Israel was cut off for unbelief, so too we can be cut off because of unbelief if we do not continue in the faith. 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, chapter 2, verse 12, he said, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Now, as I said, this could be a morning. This could be an afternoon. This is a snapshot. It's a long snapshot, but it is a snapshot nonetheless of a whole lot of scripture that speaks to a common theme. And I want you to understand this theme. But the question, of course, is why? Why am I going through this? Why are we reading through these now? And as I was putting together my notes, I felt I had to bring it to light. Because there is a very insidious, destructive branch of Christianity out there that preaches once saved, always saved. Saying that, well, if you fall away, if you do, they say, is it possible? Yes. But if you do, you were never a believer in the first place. You were never saved in the first place. Yes, that is what they say. I want to go through a couple more scriptures and just discuss them. These are some of the scriptures you may have seen if you've come across that argument. John 10, 28, 29, Jesus speaking the truth, let me say, but look for the misinterpretation here. I have given them eternal life, Jesus said, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me, this is referring to us now, believers who have come to Christ. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Absolutely. Hallelujah. Amen. Once again, close the book. We're done with the argument. No, we're not actually. Let's keep reading. Let's look at this again. No one can snatch them out of my hand. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. This passage speaks clearly and correctly of external threats. I am now abiding in Christ. There is nothing, anyone, not the enemy, not people, not temptations, not trials, nothing can snatch me out of my Father's hand. Praise God for that. But it's speaking to external threats. It's not speaking of me willfully sinning continually and then walking away. It's not speaking of that. And there are many other scriptures which warn believers not to turn away. Believers! The security for us, folks, is in Christ. It is for those of us who continue to abide in Him. This is the security which this speaks to. Praise God, how good is that? And we see also this mirrored again in the epistles. We see in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in Him, Jesus, you also trusted. After you, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, this is Jesus, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Again, I say amen. Hallelujah. Close the book. We are done. But we're not. Remember the scriptures we read earlier? And here we see the Holy Spirit is given as a seal, as a guarantee of our inheritance. Praise God. And yet we saw also in Hebrews that for some who had become partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted away and then still fallen away, these people are saved whom he's writing to. I mean, can a name, this is the figurative speak which comes from Hebrew culture, can a name be removed from the book of life? Can it be blotted out? Revelations 3, 5 talks to that. Jot these down. Exodus 32, 33 speaks to that. Deuteronomy 9, 14 speaks to that. Psalm 69 speaks to that. An inheritance, folks, we see it in Scripture again and again and again, can be forfeited. Hebrews 12, verses 16, 17, Genesis 25. Paul himself warns in Ephesians 4, a few chapters over, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. It shows that our actions matter. And I love scriptures like this, Romans 8, my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. We'll come to discussing that in study one day when we get there. Romans 8, 38 and 39, I can say this too, for I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, again, amen, hallelujah, close the book. No external thing, nothing, can possibly separate me from the love of God as long as I continue in my faith and abide in Him. But it does not say that a person cannot separate themselves. Even though we know the plans and the procedures, and God knows what's coming along, we see of Judas, who was loved, yet he himself then separated. Demas loved the world and abandoned Paul, 2 Timothy 4. Jesus warned in Matthew 24, many, many would fall away. Now, once saved, always saved says, oh, but if you fall away, you were never saved in the first place. Why would Jesus be speaking to them? Ah, oh, those people who were never saved, yes, yes, they were never saved and they're going to fall away. No, 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 no. Is it possible for a believer to fall away? Absolutely. And it's a warning. Scripture interprets Scripture, folks. We look at the whole thing. We've got to consider all passages. There are so many warnings about falling away. Hebrews 6, 4, 10, 26, 2 Peter 2, 20. We've just gone through a few of those already. These must be taken seriously. Once saved, always saved doctrine. So many of those scriptures that are pulled out of the pocket, they are correct, but they are referring to external threats, not internal, not voluntary rejection of Christ. I mean, once someone has been enlightened, tasted the heavenly gift, become partakers of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away. Can you fall away from once you've been saved? Yes. I don't even think I need to keep going. But believe it or not, there is so much more. The branches and the vine and abiding and all of these different things. If indeed you continue in the faith, we read in Colossians 1, 22. I think that's the key. That's the core. That's what I want to hammer home here for you today. If you continue in the faith, and if not, should we fall once we have received the knowledge of that truth, there remains a fearful expectation. The problem with once saved, always saved, is it distorts. Very clear illustration of the biblical balance between God's faithfulness but also human responsibility. I think you will find, and I don't know this is just a thought, but you may well find that most of those who adhere to once saved, always saved, very much have roots in Calvinism also. You had no choice to come to Christ. You were elected. You were chosen. You've always been there. You have no choice about falling away. And there again, the distortion. Calvinism, Arminianism, again, another distortion. Yes, God's elect, God's chosen, whom we are. Praise God, predestined before the beginning of time. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Again, close the book, right? Well, no. Because we've got to read the rest that we too must have to choose. And that's the argument, of course, of Arminianism, which is again unbalanced, saying it's only our choice. No, God calls us. We then decide what to do with that calling. Jot these ones down for me. Go back and have a look in your own time. Judges 2, verse 11 through 23. Also Deuteronomy 30. Verses 15 through 20. Just add them to that argument. Go back. So let's come back to James 5. Brethren, us. If any of among you wanders from the truth. Sadly, it is all too easy to slip and to fall into sin. And just like the person who is constantly overeating, it becomes a habit. If any of you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back. Written to believers, folks. It breaks my heart that some people don't get this. Paul often called out those who were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel. Verse 20, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So how do we do this? How do we, and I have a friend of mine at the moment, a dear family friend, who is in such danger of this judgment. And what is that judgment? I haven't even gotten to that yet. Scripture talks of how all of us believers, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, I cannot recall where off the top of my head, but we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what's called the Bema seat. For whereby we are judged for the deeds done in the body. For reward, yes, the crowns, yes. We also see in Romans for loss. I honestly don't know in depth what that means. I'm not going to pass judgment. But here's how it works, very simply. We come to the knowledge of the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that good news. We are born again, and then something happens. We let our guard down. We stop praying. We stop reading. We stop fellowshipping, whatever it might be, and we find comfort in something in the world. For many of us, as it was for me at one point, in the hands of someone of the opposite sex, and we find that love and companionship and a feeling of worthwhileness, of worthiness, of belonging. That's the word I'm looking for. And we find that. And this friend of mine at the moment is in that situation and getting to the point where she no longer cares. Spirit-filled, born again. Her heart is not yet so hardened. Thank God for this. This is what I'm praying against. Her heart is not yet so hardened that she has completely given up. She is not yet at that point of Hebrews chapter 6. But she is walking through the darkness of the valley without the covering of Christ. Is she still covered by the blood? Yes. Absolutely. The sacrifice of Christ once and for all. Past, present, and future. Praise be to God. But as someone who is born again, Scripture tells us, we'll go into this in detail in another time, that she will stand before the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, and be judged according to what was done in the body. So will I. So will I. And I'm going to have 20 years of my past come up there as well. And I'm just going to say, Father, because of my Lord, because of my faith, you restored me to faith, and the Lord has restored me to faith, and people help restore me to that faith because of him. And I'll simply bow my head, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I am yours. And I'm saying this to you, because I don't want you to go through what I've gone through. I don't want you to go through what my friend is going through. How do we restore someone to turn them, the sinner, from the error of his ways? Folks, we do it with love. We don't do it with judgment. That's not us. That's Jesus' position. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And as we love them and we restore them and they come back to Christ with repentance on bended knee to turn their will and their ways over to God's will and God's ways, and they are covered and their sins are forgiven. And I don't care whether it's 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, or a decade or more, you can come back at any time. But the deception of the world says, I've got time. Folks, I don't know if that's true anymore. Of course, I don't know if someone's going to pass early. I don't. But if you're, 25, 26, 27 years old, I've got time. Really? How do you know? Maybe not. if you continue in the faith. That's the theme. If I just want you to just take home one thing, if you continue in the faith, that is my final thought for you here today. Is it possible to fall from your faith? Yes. So hold fast to the gospel, that which you first received. And if this is you right now, and you are coming back to the faith, I want you to know, I want you to be comforted that the blood of Christ covers you, shed on that cross of Calvary, covers you if you continue in the faith. That's our part. That's all we have to do, continue in the faith. Heavy stuff. Beautiful though. Guys, thank you. Thank you so much for joining with me on this journey. I might try and pick an easier book next time. Look, we all need to know this. And you're listening to this right now because you are continuing in the faith. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Let's close the book. God bless. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.